We don't have a quorum, so we don't have a meeting.
So what does that mean for a seat?
I don't know. We received a letter yesterday from RNG Excavating. I won't read the whole thing, but they have graciously offered to honor their bid prices for another 2 weeks. Another 14 additional calendar days.
So is it, what's, I've just seen the timeline. You guys are running out of time here on getting this constructed. Is that
correct?
So can we ask Jeremy to talk about the timeline?
If he wants to, I'll just.
Dave, can you go ahead and introduce who's present at this meeting and the time?
Okay, I'll just say at 1:05 that Greg Carlton and myself, David Chachka, and Secretary Manager Holly Cannon.
And the three who are not present?
Wrenching, Grant Knoll, and Kenneth Smith are not present.
Okay. Is there anybody on the line?
And no counsel?
No. No counsel.
No counsel?
There's no reason to have counsel.
Okay.
We don't have a quorum, so we don't have a meeting.
So the 14 days, they've honored their bid price for an additional 14 days, RNG Excavating. And at that point in time, materials and their suppliers that have signed up for them could not honor their prices to the contractor, so you could be faced with material escalation costs. Secondly,
even within those 14 days?
Even within, but right now they're saying they've locked in the prices, their material people are okay as long as things keep proceeding towards hopefully an approval. If there is a formal rejection of the contract or something like that, that would be substantially different. So they've done their part, and it's been a standard process all above the table. KID and the board have discussed this at several meetings. If it goes much further than that, what happens is RNG Excavating is a large enough company. They were going to hopefully finish the project in April and compress the schedule, which reduces the risk of the flume being out there for another year, and also finishes the project in a shorter duration instead of dragging it out and figuring out, finding an unknown further down the road.
And Jeremy, a critical point here is that means that water would be flowing through the flume in April of 2017.
The pipe. Yep.
Through the pipe. The other critical thing is that we wouldn't have the shoring costs of another year, which is $100,000 budget, right?
Roughly.
Yeah.
Yeah. It continues to deteriorate. You've spent in excess of $400,000 to $500,000 currently to keep it in place, but you don't get a return on investment on that. So if the bid goes past, you know, the 14 days, it can affect their schedule and ability to finish by April, which then adds a whole nother year to the contract and cost to the district for shoring it in place. And there's a physical addition to stretching their contract out for another year further than what they anticipated, that could be $500,000 to $2 million extra dollars that they're going to ask for. In order for them to negotiate for longer than the 14 days, they're going to ask that $500,000 to $2 million be on the table and agreed upon that it's on the table, not forgotten about, because it physically costs them more money to construct for a longer period of time than what they had bid.
There's been some, I don't know if anybody's here from the Bureau. Moss is here.
And James.
James is here. There's been comments made about we don't have enough money, the Bureau doesn't have enough money. My understanding is right now the KID has $2.6 million in a reserve fund for the Sea Flume project.
That was generated.
That was generated specifically for the Sea Flume. The Bureau has $5.5 million in hand right now, as soon as everything gets signed and moved ahead. They're working on another $4 million, of which a good percentage of it we probably will not need, but will be there in reserve. This loan is at 2.8% interest. You know, this...
Plus, in the 2 years...
In the 2 years, we'll generate another $2 million. That would specifically be earmarked for the replacement. Not only if we do not tackle this situation in a timely manner, our insurance rates will go up dramatically. And special districts is who insures us. The biggest payout they ever had in their history was a flume failure. They're very cognizant of the situation here, and they're very concerned. All this is about is the Sea Flume. It's not about title transfer or any of that. Greg and I voted to have Holly pursue a request for proposal from companies that specialize in looking at title transfer. That can move on while this project is being done. There's no reason things can't be done together. All this is about is getting contracts signed so we can deliver water. That is our fiduciary responsibility as board members. That's why we're elected to this position. Consultants and attorneys are not elected to this position to make decisions for us. We're grown-ups. We can make our own decision.
Dave, Greg, 6 weeks ago at your two board meetings ago, I asked for direction from the board on how you want water users to proceed with the energy amendment, the provisions in the energy amendment pertaining to Sea Flume. I have not heard anything from any board member, and I, pardon my ignorance if this was discussed yesterday. I don't understand what the hang-up is on all this. Is there an agenda? If so, what is the agenda? Whether it's hearsay or rumor, I'm trying to get an understanding. I don't get it. I don't get what the hold-up is on this.
From my perspective, and I think Dave's also, that day you did call me on the phone. I want you guys to continue pursuing that. Okay. Any efforts, we appreciate.
Okay. And I assume that. I guess where I'm going, I'm sorry if I didn't characterize that very well. What I'm looking for is what are the other three thinking right now?
I don't know.
So, Dave, I mean, the argument that Kogan's putting out there is he's saying it's not a guarantee that this money, that reclamation needs to finish it out. It's not a guarantee you're going to get that. Is that basically the crux of his argument?
Yeah.
That's the crux of his argument. He's stating that there's no guarantee. He's arguing with our engineer and our contractors that it's going to be a $12 million project and not an $8.4 million project.
But you guys obviously and have
with, within the $8.4 million, there is a cost overrun percentage, correct?
Correct. We have a contingency built in for an overrun. All that's been addressed. It's all been addressed.
This guy's saying he knows more than engineers.
Go yeah, on. Yeah.
And knows better than the board and what they've already voted for.
Yeah, correct.
He is not an Oregon attorney. That's right, Kim.
He is not an Oregon attorney. Tim?
You had a chance to talk to the insurance guys yesterday, it sounds like.
Agent of record, yes.
So what kind of coverage does KID have if we shut this thing down and the Sea Flume fails and we don't have water for 22,000 acres for a year?
The example that was given to us is the district that had the failure was a small district. Their policy cost them, I believe, $12,000 to $13,000 a year. They had a very low deductible after that happened, and they didn't proceed, and they weren't taking care of business. Their insurance policy went up to $80,000-$90,000 a year, and they had a $100,000 deductible. I think our insurance policy is $60,000 or $70,000 right now.
Yeah, closer to 50, I believe.
Closer to 50. So you can just do the math.
With zero deductible.
Zero deductible. All we're trying to do is save you guys money. That's it. We're trying to get a flume rebuilt to deliver water and save you money, because if this can gets kicked down the road, it's only going to cost more.
How many more meetings are is the other three board members going to skip? I mean, does anybody have any idea? Because you can't accomplish this if you don't get all of your board members here. Is there no way to compel them to attend a meeting?
I believe that, you know, I can't speak for them, Denise.
But have you guys, done any kind of research to compel them to get to a public meeting?
We can't force them to come to a meeting. My personal opinion is they won't come to a meeting until Mr. Kogan is here, so he can call us all. What was that? Obama loving welfare check cashing whatevers.
Welfare recipients. In one email I got this morning, he's traveling the Midwest somewhere, and he will not be here till next month.
After your
deadline.
2 weeks. I don't know. He just, that's all. It was kind of vague.
So, explain if you could what your governing documents say about special meetings, which you called for and held yesterday, and then emergency meetings, which you called for yesterday and didn't happen today. What do your bylaws say about these meetings?
Well, I don't know what the bylaws say, but the Oregon statute on a special meeting gives a board member the right of 5 days' notice. Emergency meeting is 24 hours. And we met that criteria.
For both. The context of the emergency for this meeting was that the understanding as of yesterday at this time that the bid was going to expire as of today. So if that bid was going to be accepted, it had to be, or if the contract was going to be accepted, it had to be signed today. Jeremy got the extra 2 weeks yesterday afternoon, got it documented. So that changed the nature of the emergency.
When is the next regularly scheduled meeting?
July 14th.
July 14th. So that's beyond the 2 week extension.
So is there anything in the bylaws where you have members that don't participate that they can be removed and just voted in? That's the way it is. Huh? They must have had a good excuse today.
I don't know. I can't. I don't know.
No, the bylaws don't address non attendance by the board. I know the proposed Board of Directors policy does address that, but that's just a policy. It's not have the force of statute or bylaws.
Well, what does that policy say?
It says that the Board of Directors will make an effort to attend meetings, and that if they miss more than so many meetings, they will leave the board.
But is that in the proposed policies that you're working on?
Yeah.
Not an accepted policy today?
No.
Do your bylaws say for areas that it doesn't cover, Robert's Rules of Order prevails? Because Robert's Rules of Order have provisions in there for issues like this. And I know some organizations or bylaws will have a little statement like that that says if it's not covered, go to Robert's Rules of Order.
But generally, what the bylaws are is a condensing of the Oregon statute, chapter 545. Basic, most districts don't have bylaws. They just rely on the ORS 545. So KID's bylaws are a condensing of that. So I'm sure it doesn't have that.
We'd have
COVID
look at that, but I don't think he's going to.
So the patrons, we have all the folks that came 2 days in a row to
these meetings, we don't have any recourse to get our directors here to vote or not vote or have their attorney berate us or anything.
I believe you're, I agree, I don't think so. We're hamstrung. Bob?
I can't hear you very good, but why, after 50 years, all of a sudden we get a new board, and all of a sudden it's got to be done today? After 50 years, and after us investing in the solar system, big money, all of our savings, and now it's got to be done today? This don't make sense to me. Nothing makes sense. The water users have cost me around $1 million or a little more already. And as we keep going, the whole water system can be broken with basin. We got a mess going now. We need a congressional investigation of the Bureau and the old board that was in here before we got this new board. This new board is doing what the farmers want now, and I want to keep them. Thank you.
Doing what they want. If you're doing what you want, why aren't they here signing a contract to get the new seafood bill?
Hey, Dave, I have one question. What happens if that contractor comes in here and knocks that job out sooner before we get the money? Who's going to come up with the money then to pay him off? If the job gets completed, we own them.
That's been addressed.
It's been addressed already.
Maybe the solar system will pay for it. The credits they gave away.
Yeah.
So with Moss from the Bureau, there's $5.5 million available right now, plus the district's 1.7 that they have to bring to the table. You're not using your entire 2.6, so you still have 900,000 in reserves to put towards this project.
Plus 2017's assessment.
Yep, plus the next assessment, which is $1 million, $1.3 million. And so the contractor, if they compress the schedule and spend the money, you know, rapidly, there's enough money, but it will be tight to cover that scenario. But the Bureau's already requested $4 million loan, and if you will know that loan is come to fruition in January, is what my understanding is, and if with the combination of the 5.5 and the 4 in January, there's absolutely no scenario that can occur that this project would be over budget. In addition to covering the bases, the contractor has negotiated, I've negotiated with the contractor to postpone up to $1 million worth of work in the district's best interest to slide either later in the year to when the loan, next loan would become available, later in the year when your next assessment would become available, or to be fully canceled in order to help manage the budget if the Bureau loans didn't come through in the short term. So you're completely covered in the worst case scenario that's got a very, very, very small percentage of ever happening, you're still covered.
Jeremy, and that cost you're referring to is demolition.
Demolition, correct.
And it wouldn't affect the water delivery.
Correct. The project would still, the base project and the water delivery would still occur by April. If you do nothing right now, the 5.5 vanishes, the 4 vanishes, cost will go up by $1 million to $2 million in addition, and you get to rebid next year, and it's going to be a more expensive project and pursue funding that's already secured and possibly have to restart the 1 to 2 year process with design and environmental permitting if the project gets far enough down the road that some rules change.
How much longer is the Bureau going to put up with a dysfunctional board like this? That's that big concern is what you said there. You lose this funding, it's going to be huge to this district.
Paul?
I know you can't answer that, but that's a...
Just to clarify on a few points. So the $5.5 million figure, that was developed in close coordination with Adkins based on their 50% designs and specifications. That estimate was developed with the idea that construction would start this past month. It was intended to cover the first 9 to 12 months of construction.
What's that?
That's not counting the limits of them from
5%. So we requested an additional $4 million in the 17 budget, this year's 17 budget.
Okay.
We think we'll know an answer on that in the December to January timeframe. Why can't we commit more than what we currently have available? It's a matter of strictly a federal law. Anti-deficiency Act going back to 1860 says federal agencies can't commit funds, make an obligation before Congress appropriates the funds. So we legally cannot say today we have the additional $4 million that we think will be necessary to complete the funding needs for this project. But barring an act of Congress to the contrary, that funding will be available. So we think the district's in a good financial position to complete the project in coordination and in conjunction with federal financing. Everything to date, the district has positioned itself well financially. Obviously, we're at a critical decision now. But regarding the other question in terms of timing of this funding needs, we really want to see CADDY complete this work. And so we continue to hope that CADDY will follow through on executing the construction contract and proceed with construction.
And to answer the question about why is there such a hurry to get this done now? We actually started this process 4 years ago. It's been a step-by-step process that we've worked on for a long time, that two members of the current board have been privy to. It's just that you get to a point, you got to sign a contract with a construction company to get the work done. That was the next step. And we've gone through all these steps for 4 years. We raise rates. We've got money to do this, and to just throw in the towel now, it's crazy. It's just it's costing all of us money. To delay is costing, and I'm a ratepayer. I own property. I farm. I pay the same assessment everybody else does. I don't want to pay any more than I have to. It's going to cost us all more money. Bottom line, Paul.
Now, why don't we just get rid of Colgan, who's causing all the problems and the major problems with this anyway? And then that gives us additional $200,000 and put that project on his part.
Hey, Colgan's here for a reason. He's here because he understands our problem.
He's here just to stir it up the stuff.
He's here to collect $360,000.
$30,000 a month. That's what he's here to do.
The old KID paying for it because they're the ones that caused all the problems.
Who does KID board members would show up at the meeting?
KID.
Who does Rankin? Sounds a lot about the KID. Characters at the three that aren't here.
Yeah, I've been here. I was here when they were here. They had a leader, and he had a group of yes men. And that's why we're here right off today.
Right. Well, I'd like to see my water go to the seafood, not to COVID. That's why I'm looking for the water.
I'm Marshall Staunton, and I'm farming garlic and onions on TID. Most of our farms TID, but our farm now is with my nephew and all. We four of us, five of us farm 7,000 acres, and we pay $5 a year to the water users. It's been by far the best investment we could have made. When I look around the endangered species issues and spotted owl in particular, remember this started in 1991-92 for us with the listing, and really 45 private timber mills went out of business with the spotted owl listing. And the approach that the timber industry took, which failed miserably, was economy only versus the owl. And it failed, and we took early on in this project that we wanted it all. We wanted to have our farms, our ranches, a vibrant rural economy. We could still save the fish. We could still do the things that we need to do. We could modernize our facilities. And the water users have been a tremendous investment. I thank goodness that they've been around. And boy, if you want to go with the Kogan approach and the majority KID approach, you're back to hardball economy versus the world. You're against the tribes. You're against the environmentalists. You're against everybody. You're against all the professional farmers in KID and TID who support the restoration packages, who support the legislation, who support what we're trying to modernize with Steveland. And I directly dispute the gentleman to my left.
Well, Greg and Art, my concern, and I don't want to speak for Greg, but I'm pretty sure his concern today right now is we don't want to make this a debate about water users. We don't want to make it a debate about title transfer. Our concern is to get the sea flume done.
Tim? Well, for anybody that's in support of the majority of KID, what they need to do is show up and vote that we're not going to do this. That's what needs to happen. Either show up and say we're not doing it, or show up and say we are doing it. Show up and do it. All you got to do is show up and vote and say, no, we're not doing it. And then it's over with. That's what they need to do.
The board members are supposed to represent you guys.
They're the majority.
So Dave, the pretense of the vote that KID underwent in this early this spring, and the overwhelming support of our patrons that supported entering into a contract with Reclamation, I don't really know how it was worded, so I'm sure I'm saying it wrong according to some. But is that just being swept under the rug and totally ignored, or have we just circumvented that by some other means? I mean, I thought that was a pretty telling message from the patrons that we need to continue under this process.
You know, I thought it was too. We had two unanimous votes to sign the contract and move ahead, but hey, you know, you got a slick New York attorney that's found a cash cow that's in charge of your district right now. That's the bottom line.
Kogan Irrigation District.
You got it.
Can we put a new sign up out here?
Pardon?
Can we put a new sign up out here saying that?
When he's found language in the contract to create disputes, and Dave and Brent were on the initial negotiating team, and as of March 31st, when the first contract vote was taken place, Dave has been shut out of that, all the negotiations since then, and Dave knew all the details. And they chose to ignore his experience and knowledge.
So New York is 3,000 miles from here. How did KID find this guy?
Yeah. Google. What
Google
rock
thing?
Did he cross?
I don't know. He works for Siskiyou County. I know that.
You said that he found language in the contract that where he could have some sort of dispute, but it says on his website that he's licensed in New Jersey, New York, and Washington, D.C. And seeing as Oregon is a mandatory bar state where you must be, you must have passed the required things to be able to practice law in Oregon, and he's not licensed in Oregon, what does it matter if he's found anything that he can dispute? He can't practice law in our state.
Well, he can't practice law, but he can act as a consultant.
But it says here on the Oregon State Bar's website that a person who is not an active member of the Oregon State Bar but appears in court on behalf of others, drafts or selects legal documents, advises others on legal rights, acts as an immigration consultant, or holds him or herself out to be a lawyer, regardless of whether his or her clients are located, may be engaged in the unlawful practice of the law act.
Well, a bar complaint has been filed against him. And I think
on those grounds.
On those grounds, exactly. And I can't speak to the bar, and they have a certain time to respond and whatnot, but there has been a complaint filed on that.
So we're dead in the water.
When do you anticipate getting that response?
You know, actually the other day there was an article, Reitman, I think that's how you say his name, there was a complaint against him also. He had an attorney respond on his behalf, and within that article, I believe it said Kogan asked for an extension to respond until July 15th. And then at that point, it's in the Oregon State Bar's hands to just to make their decision.
So, like the next regularly scheduled meeting, the bar's final decision, both of those, would occur after whatever extension.
Yeah, and the bar's decision, and I don't know how long it takes them. I'm not on the Oregon State Bar panel that reviews those. But any time after his deadline and his response, then they would make a decision whether or not to pursue that. And they have a whole trial series and everything that they go through.
So since Paul pointed out the deadline for Kogan to respond, as well as your next regularly scheduled board meeting, is beyond the expiration of the extension, how are you guys going to proceed without losing that that bid?
We'll just operate in the legal manner we are today and attempt to call another meeting. What else can we do?
There's not much else we can do than what we've already done.
So when's the next meeting?
Our next regularly scheduled board meeting is July 14th.
No, your special meeting for this 2 weeks.
What's the day?
The 8th.
No, the day of the 2 weeks.
The 8th, July 8th.
No, it's the 14th.
No, the expiration.
Oh, the expiration is the 8th, yeah.
Has there been a commitment made from the other three board of directors to attend your executive session meeting next week?
I don't know. I can't.
No, that's a whole totally different subject.
Why do they have an explanation for why they didn't show up either yesterday or today?
I can answer part of that. Yesterday they weren't informed. Yesterday, a lot of KID patrons were not informed.
It was in the paper.
A lot of people in here yesterday.
I was in here. Yeah, I did take the paper and kind of. Yeah, that's right.
It was also on KID's website, Marcy.
They were also.
No, that was the meeting that was canceled.
No.
No.
You can't cancel a meeting. If there's a special meeting that is properly noticed, there is no way that those can be canceled. And so they had every right to show up. So that was a notice that was put on there, but that there was no way that they could cancel that. They had no authority to do so, according to the statutes.
And how could they cancel it if they weren't aware of it?
Exactly.
I'm just a little confused, and I've been following this. I have not attended all the meetings, but I am a patron, and I just, maybe your hands are tied as board members because you have an attorney or two or whatever, but as a patron, I refuse to say that there's nothing that we can do. I mean, is there nothing that no one here that we as a group want to get an attorney and push our own agenda? Because obviously these three fellows on the board have their own agenda, and Kogan, it appears, is going to bankrupt this district because we're just going to let him walk all over us. So I understand your position, but personally, I'm refusing to say that there's nothing that we can do, that we just keep coming to these meetings and have a stalemate. That's my opinion.
I think it's a good opinion. I agree with you.
We can attempt to call the special district guy ourselves.
Yeah. When we, special districts, wanted to have that special session executive session with the board next Wednesday.
Yes.
So that's the time to, you know.
Will they, if you guys call them right now, will they take your call in front of all of us and tell us that we don't have any rights, that they can't protect us? Will they talk to us?
Well, and he's going to be here Wednesday.
Well, I'm not wanting to wait till Wednesday.
I understand, but that's well within that.
Greg, we're here today. We get to come on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Our numbers change. Let's get them on the phone. I mean, what is it going to hurt? All they can do is say no. If they say yes, then we can ask them the question. We can say, just like this lady said, do we have any rights? Or do we just get to watch our district get bankrupt? The guy just take. I mean, those board members, for whatever reason, want to give that man $30,000 a month. And they're going to do that until we do something. There's not a doubt in my mind.
I tried to call Brent three separate times over the last 24 hours. He won't answer his call.
Yeah.
Have the upset patrons of KID started a recall campaign yet?
That's what I wanted to know yesterday.
Our bylaws allow that.
We can't start a recall campaign until 6 months after they were sworn in the office. That's already state statute. When would that be? Be approximately the 8th of July.
Do you think that they take our call?
I would be uncomfortable.
Isn't it an executive?
Especially since they're going to be here Wednesday, Bill.
Yeah.
We'll address a lot of these concerns Wednesday.
It would be very uncomfortable for them to be called cold and say there's 30 people in a room wanting answers.
That ain't uncomfortable because they were advised at the meeting they chose not to show up.
No, we're talking about special districts.
We had all kinds of meeting, one on KBRA, and it was turned down again. It's supposed to end in December. It's supposed to be over with. And they still keep operating, and Papa, under no law that was passed for it, was still using the agreement that some idiots made. Dave Solomon is gone. And Dan Kevin's still here.
So I stated before, this is not about Quapa, which no longer exists. This is not about the KBRA. This is about getting water down the sea flume so people can irrigate. All it's about, it's all Greg and I care about, is getting this done so our patrons get water to irrigate with.
And don't forget about the Henley School and all those kids. I mean, this is just absolutely, it blows me out. I can't, the board and the liability, if the sea flume next September decides to blow up, why all those kids are in school. I mean.
There isn't an insurance policy big enough that will take care of
that. No, and I've got 2 grandkids going to school there, and they've got more value than anything anybody can show me in this room.
So what's the risk assessment for that? When that thing blows, that infrastructure goes, and it damages property, and it damages perhaps people, it could damage a lot. That's into the millions, hundreds of millions. I know, I've worked on those kinds of projects. So who pays for that? Who pays for the damage when that water blows? Who pays for it? Has that been calculated? Is Mr. Coogan part of that discussion? Who pays for that damage and that risk that we're as a community now putting out there because we can't friggin' solve the problems of this water district? Who pays for that? And why isn't that number on the table? Because I don't think you have enough insurance and I don't think you have enough money to cover that from at least what I have seen in the recent future or the recent past in Oregon when those kinds of things happen. So who has assessed that risk? Where's the dollar figure on the table? Folks, y'all ought to know, because it's a lot more than what you're even discussing about repairing that flume. And why would you let a flume go down because everybody can't get along when we have the only industry in this community that is making money, which is agriculture? What else is there? Tell me, where else do people work?
Where's the income coming from this community? And we're putting it all at risk. This is just ludicrous.
Yes, it is.
Ludicrous. Where is our community about doing what is right for the community rather than doing all this nonsense? This is just unbelievable.
Ask unbelievable. Three board members.
Well, on July 8th, I think we ought to recall them. And we have from the 8th to the 14th, when that date comes, let's recall them. If we act as a group or we don't, and I have been on the other side of don't, I know what that feels like, and let's be on the side of let's do. And let's recall them and get people that will vote and do the right thing for the community and for our agriculture industry. Because if it goes down, Klamath Falls is going to be a ghost town swept away by the wind. You have nothing else to replace it. There is no other industry out there. And it doesn't look like any are coming in. And if you want to dispute me, fine. Put the facts on the table. Let's talk facts. Because I haven't heard facts. A lot of emotion, a lot of past issues coming up. But that is not what is we're dealing with today.
Trying to understand the other side of, like, apparently the other three board members' opinion. Is the objection that the Bureau of Reclamation would own the sea plume, or who exactly?
That's one of them.
Okay, is that the case that the Bureau of Reclamation would own the sea plume?
They would still own it, yes.
The Bureau of Reclamation right now holds title to everything in the project, not just KID, every district. We are responsible for the operations and maintenance of said infrastructure.
Okay. But you're trying to break the farmer. Giving the water, everybody but the farmer. They give the two people that are top in line call for water. This is for the birds and the tribes. And farmers, we get nothing. All we get is a bare ground that's not worth a damn because we can't farm it because there's no water. Farmers broke when you can't get water.
How much is the insurance policy? What's the maximum on the insurance policy?
The policy limits.
The policy limits.
Well, is there a tort limit on that?
Look, can we get that right now so we can have that?
Yeah, there's a tort limit, but there was a recent case that just threw the tort limit out. So. Scott?
Bob, can you tell me what bird has a water right senior to the project?
What's that?
Tell me what bird has a water right senior to the project.
Well, the game reserve down there.
1925.
Huh? 1925. They didn't have any to begin with this year.
It's a 1925 water right. The project is 1905.
They sold their water when they sold their ground. They never had any water. And we're giving them seconds. Call for water.
So you got an executive meeting Wednesday. Is it?
Yes.
Is there time to change that other than just to an executive session? Could you go to a general meeting?
Well, I think that has to be an executive
session.
Because we're sitting down with special districts.
Yeah. Which is fine, but you can't make any kind of decision, an executive decision. That you have to go to an open meeting.
Correct.
So, is there a chance that you could address some of this then?
You could have your exec session and then go to open meeting.
Well, I can't make that call, but we can ask some of these questions on liability and that the lady, the concerns that she brought forth, yeah. I'm sure that's part of what we're
discussing. Because, I mean, if you got an executive, you can't make a decision of any kind.
Correct, we can't make a decision. It has to come
out. So, it has to come out anyway. So, if we can, what time is the meeting Wednesday?
3:00. So,
3:00.
And it's probably going to last a long time.
Long time, yeah.
But that's a closed meeting, right?
Yeah, correct. Well, the executive session is.
It's an executive session. It's a closed meeting.
Except for news media.
Then will that be made public after that? After the
U.S. talk? If they make a decision, they have
so
to.
So special districts requested the meeting. And so we don't know really what it is they want to talk to the board about. So whatever we can make public, yes.
Who are the special districts that are going to be represented there, do you know?
No, it's special.
It's special districts of Oregon.
Oh, of Oregon, okay, never mind, excuse me, I thought you meant.
And they are the insurance provider.
It's kind of throwing gas on the fire, but if this Cogan is illegally practicing law in the state of Oregon, I wonder if he would be subject to a malpractice that brought against him by the farmers in this room. And, you know, having said that, I wonder if we need to draft a letter to him to that effect. And that's only if it's found that he's illegally practicing law in Oregon. I mean, it would seem that he might be held responsible for the cost that is going to be extra if this contract doesn't get signed.
I think he's the best man for this situation, dude.
Thinks everybody's even. No, it shouldn't be right. There shouldn't be five or six guys down south getting put their way, running everything for 20 years. That's why we started before that, but that's why we're still here. We paid for 3.5 acres, never wanted. We should get all of them, except for what the other guy did. Yeah. Everybody should be treated equal. That's what I think.
And this attorney's going to make us all equal because he's dictating what the hell we're going to do. That's what's going to equalize all of us, huh?
He's going to take our money.
I'm sorry.
He's going to take all of our money.
Got one?
I just want to thank you two for showing up here and doing this. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Bob? Before, I know you just can't wait to have another meeting, but I think everybody in this room, when you have another meeting on this subject, it's got to be before 2 weeks.
So, it's got to be.
So do you have a date yet? Or I mean, because everybody'd like to know. I mean, I put you on the spot there.
I have a suggestion. You have an emergency or special meeting on Wednesday. Is it possible to have a public session 2 hours before that at 1 o'clock?
You have nothing else to do?
Yeah. I mean, get it all.
I would rather have it after it.
Yeah, because then you know they'll be here.
Greg wants it after.
I would rather have it after it the next day or something.
Oh, okay.
The next day?
That's fine.
Well, just thinking together. So if I make your meeting
with special master, it's a lot better if you get something done before the meeting.
Do you suppose special
master? I know, we'll see what, you know, we have to talk to the president because he is the president and it's his responsibility to make some of these decisions, so. Holly can talk to him about it, and we'll see what takes place. But we'll take it under consideration, by all means.
Another question on that front, just thinking things out. He's going to be here for the special district. It might be awful hard for him to walk out that door with 100 of us standing outside.
Who's going to be here?
Huh?
Oh, all the head of the special district.
No,
the rest of the board.
The board. They're going to be here. Maybe we should be out there waiting for the next meeting if they walk out and leave with the whole farm community here.
That's up to you guys.
That's up to you whether you're going to have that meeting after that.
We're calling in. I agree with you, Bob. You can call for a meeting afterwards.
And just have them walk by us if he's going to leave.
I don't care.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't want to put you guys in a spot. We know this has been tough on you guys. We don't know what to do.
You know, our purpose isn't to throw anybody under the bus here. Our purpose here is to get this project down the road and force a vote and not let, you know, a carpetbagger hijack this whole thing and make our decisions for us.
Well, it appears, Dave, that you're not throwing them under the bus. They've already done that themselves. Mm-hmm. Because as a board member myself, I find it unfathomable that they would not show up here to a meeting and at least just give their own point of view.
Regardless of who called it.
And listen to the patrons that they are supposed to represent. It's beyond what I can comprehend. So thank you guys for being here.
Yeah.
I'm sorry that you had to waste your time today, but it is what it is. So thanks for coming, guys.
If we have an overwhelming majority, what is it, 269 to 16?
269.
Okay, so we've got over 95% of the vote. Why isn't the president and the vice president have precedence over 269 people to 16? And is there anything in the bylaws that, you know, would be able to be applied to situations?
So we need to ask special districts.
That's what we need to ask special districts.
Okay.
There's also a sign-in sheet, Rowdy.
Oh, sign-in sheet. Everybody please sign it.
Right here.
We're done.